God of the prophets, old and new, turn our steps ever toward you. Give us grace to see our need and recognize salvation when it comes. In the name of God, the one who was and is to come. The beginning of Advent is New Year for the church. It is when new revisions or programs of the national church often traditionally go into effect. The legislative changes from last summer's General Convention, for example, went into effect last Sunday. It is also when we change to a new year in the three-year Eucharistic lectionary cycle we follow. And so we enter year C and begin our year-long journey through the Gospel of Luke. We make the transition from the Gospel of Mark, the shortest gospel, to the Gospel of Luke, the longest. Luke, in fact, is the longest book of the entire New Testament. Scholars have long accepted that the writer of Luke also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. Together they serve as a two-book account of the life of Jesus in the beginning of the early church. While Mark is generally accepted as the first gospel written, probably during the time of the revolt against Rome and Palestine and the destruction of the temple in the year 70, Luke is thought to have been written some 20 or 25 years later. Luke is thought to have been a Gentile disciple and companion of Paul during his last years in Rome. He was Greek, not Hebrew. Educated, he is often described as a physician, and quite literate. Luke gives us many of the passages of flowing prose and poetry with which we are most familiar. We will also notice different themes and emphases. Mark seemed filled with urgency and immediacy, which speaks to the tumultuous time in which it was written. Mark's writing is not as polished and refined as the writing of Luke. As we journey with Luke for the next year, listen for several of the themes particularly important to Luke. Luke's account is spirit-filled. Jesus is often at prayer, and his work is usually described as led by the Spirit. The fellowship of table is an important component of Luke's account. Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners, with Pharisees, with strangers, and with his disciples. One scholar noted that in Luke, Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. Luke, more than any of the other Gospels, is particularly concerned with the oppressed, the marginalized, and the overlooked. Luke gives us more accounts of women than any of the other evangelists. Luke's theology of salvation is one of salvation for all alike. Luke also places Jesus and his life more closely in an historical as well as theological context. We see that quite plainly in our gospel lesson this morning. Luke informs us that John the Baptist's call from God came at a very specific time in history. It was common in the ancient world to date events according to the rulers in power, so we learn that what Luke is about to tell us happened in the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius. Pontius Pilate is governor of Judea, Herod Antipas is ruler of Galilee, Annas and Caiaphas are the high priests in Jerusalem. These are all names with which we are familiar. They are all major characters who will play a role later in the story. By our modern reckoning, this places these events sometime around the year 30, give or take a few years. At this point, we are at the place in the narrative where we are preparing for the ministry of Jesus. But in Luke, our first contact with John the Baptist and our understanding of just who he is occurs much earlier in the account. We are all familiar with the Annunciation story, as told only in Luke, when the Archangel Gabriel visits Mary to tell her that she will have a child who will be the Son of the Most High. Mary responds, "Be it unto me according to your word," and the angel departs. That's a different sermon. But there is also an Annunciation story concerning the birth of John the Baptist, again told only in Luke. John's father, Zechariah, was a member of a priestly order. He and his wife, Elizabeth, were getting old and had been able to have children, a disgraceful situation for a woman in the ancient world. When Zechariah's rotation came for him to offer incense in the temple sanctuary, he also had a visit from Gabriel, who informed him that the couple's prayers had been heard by God, and Elizabeth would bear a son to be named John, who would be filled with the spirit and power of Elijah. Zechariah, of course, questioned how he would know how this could possibly be, as they were both past childbearing age. For his unbelief, Zechariah was struck mute for the duration of the pregnancy. His tongue was only freed after the boy was born and named John, whereupon Zechariah's first response was an extended song of praise, which is the canticle we used in place of a psalm. Zechariah restates what Gabriel had told him. "You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare him." Here we come to another major theme in the Gospel of Luke, the role of prophet. More specifically, John the Baptist as messenger and prophet, and Jesus as prophet, who fulfills the prophets who have come before and indeed is greater than the prophets. John and Jesus' ministries are intertwined, but whereas John is the prophet of Most High, Jesus is the Son of the Most High. John will be mistaken for the Messiah, but proclaims that one who is coming after me is greater than I. Prophet and messenger to the end. And so it is fitting that as we begin Advent, our season of joyful expectation of the one who is to come, that we hear once again the prophetic messages of the voice crying out in the wilderness. It is a message as old as the ages and as new as this morning. Prepare the